And welcome, everybody, to Off the Hook Overtime here in YouTube land. It's Emmanuel. It's Kyle over there.
Hey, what's up?
We have out in Signal Land, Rob and Gila.
Yes, indeed.
Yes,
hello.
And are we on YouTube?
We have not caught up to YouTube with the delay yet, but I will let you know just as soon as we do.
Okay. I have to say, you know, we would not be doing this show had we known that Alex was going to bail at the last minute again. We're going to try and make it a quick one because, you know, the thing is, this is a combined effort, and when one person isn't here, it's more work for everybody else, and we're overloaded as it is with all kinds of crap, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm in a foul mood because of the way things are going in the world and the way things are going around here, and just it's a mess. It's a big mess, and it's good talking to everybody, though. I enjoyed our conversation. I'm sure we'll get all kinds of crap for saying the things we said. We always do. But that's the nature of the game.
And it's part of the fun of it. And, yes, we're on YouTube. We sound good.
All right, well, that's a matter of perspective.
It's important not to take things for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, joining you, I know you all listening spend your days toiling away and spend some free time, or maybe you're doing something else on delay after you download this, but we don't want to waste your time, and we really appreciate that you listen, and we provide this opportunity to interact with us, and yeah, we aim not to overextend ourselves.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, okay. Let's start with the phone calls. 802. God damn it. I just tried to hit a button and the screen. You ever have that happen where you press a button on a screen and then the screen moves right after you press in, and so you're pressing a different button? God damn. Okay. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. We've just opened up the phone lines.
I'm ready.
You can call us. You can call us if you have anything to say. And we've said enough, I think.
Yes.
We have said a lot.
We have. You can call us, you can type to us in the YouTube chat, and let us know what is on your mind.
Yes. Greetings to the 18 people who are with us so far.
18. Wow. A big time here.
Hey, it just went to 22.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it'll go up. It'll keep going up.
It absolutely will.
Yeah, so, it's been a minute since we did this.
Yeah, it's been a while. But that's because people keep bailing, and we don't have the staff, and it's ridiculous.
Well, and we're all feeling better now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, more or less.
If you mean, yeah, I've thrown a few things around the room.
Since
and broken,
you said
yeah,
22,
I feel better,
yeah.
Yeah, I kicked the cat, and yeah. No, I don't have a cat.
Don't do that.
I don't have a cat.
Don't do that.
I mean, like, we've all got our voices back, more or less.
We were sick last week, weren't we?
Yeah.
I prefer that, to be honest. What do you guys think of that Bruce Coburn song? That was something, wasn't it? That's some anger for you.
Yeah, it seemed like a good time for that.
Yeah.
And I think we kept it positive. I'm trying to throw the positivity in there, and like, we should be enjoying this. Like, it is worthy of ridicule if it weren't so tragic, I think.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's why, you know, I'm peeved that we didn't all get to talk, because talking together is what gets us through this. And when you stop doing that, you lose something important, and you feel more alone and weak and ununited, you know. And
well, and we don't have to.
Ununited, is that even a word?
Not do this and not talk, but
yeah.
We are less than without one another, so certainly. And I wanted to convey the upset and the disappointment, but also we can have fun with this and be creative and really combine all the solutions, combine ideas, and really make this a strong retort, a strong and give the leadership some spine, dare I say. I think mm-hmm. we're really... I don't know what the plan is with the opposition in government right now, but they're not leading with any kind of communication or charisma or like,
because they're scared of their own shadow.
It's horrible.
It's bullshit. I'm sorry. It just is.
They need our help, and it's so underwhelming. At least let us in on your long game, if there is one, other than saving your own necks. But I don't know what else, what we're left with, really, to
I think the
keep
thing is,
things going
people
well.
Are, people are afraid to have these kinds of conversations. That includes people that are in government. So basically, you know, I don't know how to say it, really, but it's... people, Democrats are afraid of socialists, but they're also afraid of moderates, because, you know, if you're more to the left, you're afraid of someone who's more to the center. If you're to the center, you're afraid of someone to the left. And they have to learn how to bring them all together, because that's where the strength is. You can't just reject someone. Look, I saw there was an election. I forget where. There's so many damn primaries. But the moderate won instead of the progressive person by a strong amount. And I said, okay, good. That's a strong amount. You'll get the seat, hopefully. I wasn't bent out of shape because it wasn't the progressive. I would have been happy if it was, but it wasn't, and I accept that, and I embrace that, and I look forward to them winning. I look forward to all of them winning, because when they all win, then they've got, you know, something strong. As long as you don't get a bunch of Fettermans, you'll be all right, you know? You know what I mean? Well, I don't know what happened, but this guy just suddenly took a hard turn to the right, and there's just no talking to him. He's not taking the job seriously. The thing is, you kick him out, you're going to probably get a Republican to replace him, and that's probably worse. I'm almost certain
it's like
worse.
Joe Manchin all over again.
It is.
I think that both things can be done. Like, you can have political groundswell and advocate and get the... and find common cause with aspects of your party that you might be more moderate than. I'm talking about the Democratic Socialists. Yeah, they could coordinate and communicate where they diverge and why they're uniting. They're just bad at it because they think if they show any kind of tolerance for something other than what they believe in, their political careers will end. That's not how you build a coalition, and that's what you need when you're in the minority, to figure out what things you can move on, what campaigns, what races look like they can actually be changed, whether it's a moderate or not. Doesn't really matter, but I also think they could be setting the tone for political action. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, whatever it is, it shouldn't be just these, like, really weak, you know, holding up signs in a State of the Union.
I know, right? Holding up signs and just having octogenarians show up at a rally every 3 months. I mean, it's great that they're getting out there and doing something, but where are the teenagers? Where are the 20-somethings? You know, they're not there. They're not participating. They're not interested, and that is what is killing us.
Well, and I think if they're older politicians, you should be putting pressure on your colleagues across the aisle, like real pressure, talking about, like, mm-hmm. Look, this is going to hurt state to state. This is going to hurt if for our region, for our coalitions of interests, whatever it is. If you're not going to be on the steps making announcements or you know, leading the charge, and or at least just setting the tone for protests, setting the tone, showing up, and if that's not your speed, then you really need to be having the town halls. You really need to be moving around, listening to people, and also doing the kind of, whipping of the, you know, whipping votes, trying to get some movement, trying to get some of the colleagues and bipartisan action moving with, like, real pressure. I don't see that. I don't feel like that's happening. And it's just, it's got to be from people.
We have a phone call. Good evening. You're on overtime.
Hi. Good evening. Did you hear about this guy? He's a researcher from Anthropic, and he resigned today.
Yes.
And he posted this very creepy, very scary message on X.
Do you have the message on you?
Yeah.
Read it,
please. He says, I resigned from Anthropic today. I spent the last 3 years doing pre-training research at both OpenAI and Anthropic. Neither company is acting responsibly. They're racing straight to self-improving superintelligence and gambling with our lives. And he also said, the people building AI earnestly believe it could kill us all by the end of the decade. And then one of his colleagues said, Jacob is correct here. We really do earnestly believe that AI could kill all humans. I personally think it's greater than 10% within the next decade. And then a third person writes, AI developers believe their technology could cause human extinction or similarly bad outcomes. This could happen in the next few years. In general, the more senior the employee, the more concerned they are.
And so these are not crackpots. These are people who actually work in the field saying this. And, how is it that this is even a conversation? You know, when you have this kind of a risk, you take it seriously. But there are people who are so hypnotized by the money and by the power that they can get from this, they don't care. And I think almost literally people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump don't really care about the human race. If they take it all with them, that's okay with them. Kyle.
I've had this experience even within family. I occasionally get some posts and things sent to me. In this case, my dad sent me something about construction jobs. He said, this is a great trade. And you know, he hears me. Sometimes I'm, concerned about work, or I want to, add some experience to my resume, that kind of thing. And I get this thing, and I'm like, okay, you don't understand. Like, just because you can get a short-term gain and make six figures building a data center or being an electrician right now, and that's a good sign, that doesn't mean we're necessarily like aligned or that that's a great thing to start participating in. And especially coming from my field of interest, I just responded and I'm like, I'm trying to express to people like, yeah, I mean, that is what's happening, good, bad, whatever the case. But in the end, this is really exactly what general intelligence or what an artificial intelligence would want humans to do were they to want to optimize and get better and better. They would convince the people that are in charge of it, that are investing in it, and that are building the very machines and facilities that help it exist. They would convince humans to work against their interests with whatever lies to build as many non-human entities, facilities where they could continue to grow, basically converting the natural world into an artificial facility that they could then thrive. I'm not saying we're at artificial general intelligence yet, but I feel strongly that capitalism itself was a very slow, sort of clumsy form of it, and ultimately that's evident in the sort of lack of institutional memory, the churn, the turnover of people that they go, they make their money, they quit. And then you have this sort of mythology within companies about what the company's about. And then ultimately it turns into something that it's not. We've talked about the word for this at length in how companies get taken over by private equity, how they diverge from their original sort of founding principles. They get completely gutted and bled for all the cash they can possibly generate, and then left for dead. And I think that that's how you get a company that starts out not wanting to do evil, and then ultimately completely diverges from that and is, in fact, evil in its actions, saying one thing about what they do. You have a Meta doing the same thing now, trying to convince people, we believe in humans, we believe in this. Yeah, you believe in humans until they're expendable, and then you believe in certain humans. And they never want to really talk about the sort of discrimination, the dichotomy between those that are profiting from all of this and that will, repopulate another planet and destroy it after they've left us behind. But they really don't ever want to speak about the ugliness of inequality, that these technologies, if they aren't managed well, will have those kinds of outcomes alongside, I can, redecorate with this, or I can, optimize my gift purchases or something with something. Yeah, that's great, but when everything's burning and there's no resources left, that won't really be applicable.
Rob?
I have such big feelings about this story. Thank you for bringing it up, caller. The thing is, this guy is leaving. This guy quit Anthropic. He flounced and he posted this big screed about why the tech is being developed and used irresponsibly. But here's the thing. The tech is not real. It is a bubble. And what he's talking about is not going to happen. But this guy, because he is huffing his own farts, he is buying the hype of the trade he chose to work in. His flounce is serving the bubble itself. It's serving Anthropic because it is helping to build up that hype of, well, this must be a real working thing if this big sciencey guy is scared of what might happen. So, you know, give us a bunch more money to invest in this stuff that you know, we can do some kind of rug pull with when this all you know, blows up in our faces. And in the meantime, we are going to keep pouring money into these things. We are going to keep pouring resources into these things. We are going to keep cooking the earth for spicy autocomplete that will never be as useful as they're claiming. And this is just, it is spinning my head around, trying to deal with all of this and the fallout. Like, this guy did not grow a brain. He just fed the fire.
Anything to add, caller?
No, I hope if we're still alive in 2 years, maybe you could, it would be great if you could get somebody, a disgruntled person from one of these AI companies to speak at the next HOPE conference.
Oh, I'm hoping we could do that a lot sooner, but yeah, there's bound to be a bunch of them. So yeah, we're looking into that, absolutely.
Okay, all right, thanks. Have a great night.
Thanks for your call. 802-321-4225.
No doubt that there will be losers at the end of this bubble, just a hell of a lot more losers than they're saying. And, I mean, this is how we got dark fiber in the 90s. Like, there was all this build-out and then no need.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like AI. It's great for certain things, you know, like you have a gardening question, you have a question about fixing a car or... you know, when we were in Warsaw, figuring out the Polish washing machine and how, what button does what, and it was really incredibly complicated. It's great for things like that. It's great for giving you the knowledge that has been pulled through many sources on the internet. It's, you know, it's a really, really good search engine. And, you know, the old search engines, they don't seem to work anymore. But you start giving it the ability to decide when to drop bombs and, you know, what's expendable and what isn't. You are sealing your own doom. And it's not hard to figure this out. Every science fiction story since the 1950s has been predicting this, probably before that. It doesn't take much intelligence. So really, you know, the only thing we have to do is get the hell out of the hands of the people stupid enough to let it make its own decisions, quote unquote, and wipe us all out. Because that's not science fiction. That could actually happen. And if the people who work in the industry are saying that, you damn well better believe it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, even if it isn't the people actually, if it isn't making those decisions, if it's informing the people making those decisions, but only in the context of, like, survivability for people that are deep inside, you know, mountain bunkers, that doesn't bode well for the rest of us.
You said the end of the decade. That's only a few years. It was 2026. It's not like it's 2021. It's, yeah, that's closer than you think. Okay, we have this phone call.
We're being joyful. We're being positive, creative.
I'd like for this phone call to be what we call a quickie. So, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to mention that maybe we'll live like the Jetsons in 2 years, or 3 years.
Yeah, as in being relegated to digital memories. Yeah, sure, why not? Why not?
Yes, reduced to two-dimensional cartoons.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I'd just like to mention, I mean, you were mentioning on the radio about the 25th anniversary of September 11, 2001. I'd like to mention all the people who are making money off of that event, or making money off veterans.
Mm-hmm.
There's this company, Wounded Warrior Project, that I've worked for a veteran who was a veteran, and they said that they treat them like the welfare office. They don't give them money. They treat them like the welfare office. And when a Gulf War veteran comes in and wants help, they say, no, I'm sorry, this is for current veterans. Like they say, you would leave your warrior behind? I mean, there's...
What do you mean, current veterans? How is a Gulf War veteran not a current veteran?
That's what I guess they asked the Wounded Warrior Project that.
Which Gulf? Gulf War?
Oh, all right, let's not get wise guys.
All right, no. Go on, Rebel. Yeah.
So is this from one disgruntled person, or have you heard this from a variety of sources?
No, I've heard it on reviews and stuff. And then I've done some research. They call their director a CEO. They treat it like a company. It's like they've been on the news. Like, I think it's been on 60 Minutes. They've had, like, lavish parties and stuff.
People make money off of stolen valor constantly, and it's no different. I'm sure they're, again, maybe they started as, you know, a good, well-meaning entity and then sort of diverged from that. It happens all the time.
Wasn't that the one Tony Soprano was part of? Not Tony, you know who I'm talking, James Gandolfini. I think that was Wounded Warrior. But I'm not sure. You know, I know nothing about this, so I'm not qualified to...
They have this person who's a salesperson who gets $40,000 a year. He lives in Florida. He's the one who goes to the restaurants and asks for money, you know, for donations.
Well, you know, Greenpeace was accused of the same thing, you know, of basically dropping people out in suburbia and picking them up in the evening, and they're supposed to knock on doors and raise money. You know, a lot of organizations that you believe in have bad aspects to them that do need to be called out and revealed and improved upon or replaced. But we know nothing about this, I don't think.
Well, they're not the only one there. Ever since like 2005 or 2004, a lot of them have come up. There's, you know, like a home for our troops and this for our soldiers and this hold the flag and, you know, all of them.
Well, there's only so many web pages they could possibly get. Right?
Yeah, and it's a byproduct
of... No, it's not web pages. It's not only their web pages. You go to a restaurant and you go to the bill and say, would you like to donate to whatever for our troops or whatever for our soldiers or...
Well, it's a byproduct. It's a byproduct of all of that sort of forced patriotism. People see that as a market. It's like, oh, well, if I just say these key words and I have this look and there's a flag somewhere, all of a sudden people will treat me with the sort of credibility that I do not deserve.
Yeah, and what are you? You're either with us or against us. So are you against
us? You're a terrorist otherwise. Yeah, it's so bad.
Getting off the subject a little, I was just wondering about... when you use a Ring doorbell, you know, you ring a doorbell and somebody answers, you know, or maybe they don't answer. Does Google have your picture and your photo and your voice?
Hell yeah, they do. Yes, absolutely. That woman who went missing, you know, the mother of the anchor for a Today Show or whatever, they were able to find somebody who went to her front door. And she didn't even subscribe to the service, yet somehow they were able to go to a backup and retrieve this image. In fact, a lot of good it did them. They never found the person, but, you know, they do keep this information. Even if you don't subscribe to the service, they have the ability to record and retrieve. So don't think for a second that that's not possible.
Right. So when you ring somebody, when you see a Ring doorbell, your voice and your face is being sent to Google.
Sure. Yeah, and probably a lot more things than that, walking down the street, you know, cameras of all sorts. Yeah, we live in the surveillance age, you know, with the flock cameras and everything like that, but we bring it all on ourselves. You know, we basically ask for this stuff. We invite it. Now, okay, flock is experiencing a bit of, a reaction against them, but there's other companies doing the same thing, you know. I've heard of towns that have kicked them out, but, you know, within the next week, they've got another company that they replaced them with. So what's being accomplished exactly? We live in a surveillance-happy world. We somehow think that when we're on camera all the time, we're safer. We're not safer. We're just able to document it better. But we're just as violent and ignorant as we always have been. So, we need to work on other things before we perfect this.
Just like when, you know, when the Park Avenue massacre happened. I mean, you can't even go into buildings anymore, you know, just without, you know, showing ID and, you know.
What was the Park Avenue massacre?
Well...
The Park Avenue massacre. You don't. Where were you when that happened?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking what it was.
A year ago.
What is it with people that repeat that you don't know something as if you're suddenly going to remember it? No, I don't know what the Park Avenue Massacre is. Please tell me.
Well, look it up on Google. It was something.
Let me look it up. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to a human being.
It was a year ago. It was a year ago.
There was a massacre on Park Avenue. Is this the Park Avenue?
Yeah, in a building. I went to the NFL office.
That was two people, I think, right? Does that qualify as a massacre? I'm not belittling it, but okay, I didn't know that's what it was. I didn't know it was on Park Avenue.
Yeah, well, the building was on Park Avenue, and you just walk right into it. Now you can't go into buildings anymore without showing your ID, and
No, that was the case before then. That didn't start it.
No, more buildings now are imposing that rule. You used to be able to walk into different buildings, just like the crime with the. On the subway, the governor put the National Guard in the Penn Station and all because, the homeless people were stabbing people and,
I typed Park Avenue Massacre into Wikipedia, and it redirected me to 2025 Midtown Manhattan shooting. So apparently they don't really like that name. But, yeah, it took place at 345 Park Avenue, Midtown Manhattan.
I think we got to be careful with some of this because
killed four people. Four people.
Okay,
that's a massacre.
So that is a mass casualty event.
I'm sorry, I didn't know.
There is still violence. We are actually living in an era where there is less violence. We are not as crime-ridden as people have you believe. And the minute you start characterizing that way, I gotta say, I know in New York, the police love to be the victims. They didn't get enough support. This mayor, that mayor. It's a time-honored tradition. So let's be very honest and very clear about what's going on. And with a lot of the surveillance, we have done better overall. I think this last summer has been used as an example in New York. But we also are at the effect, with this amount of surveillance, at ever more abuse of it by people with perceived authority. I'm talking about ICE. That's federal agents in your city. I'm talking about all kinds of stalking and the other aspects when technology is this pervasive and used just so widely that it's tempting for people that have access and control to it to that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, there is a lot of nuance in this, and I think we do need to be a little bit careful because we're starting to sound like, oh, everything is so scary. Well, there's a lot of aspects to that, the availability of weapons, all of that kind of stuff. And access control is important in buildings, especially sensitive situations. Yeah, we don't want to invite opportunistic violent crime, but we got to be real about it too. So, and yeah, support the police, I guess.
Well, no, I mean, a cop was killed in that shooting, but he was off duty. He was working as a security guard.
Yeah, I'm not saying they are absolutely targeted. There's a lot to this.
Well, he targeted a security guard because he wasn't working as a cop at the moment. But the fact is, everybody is.
Police are still targeted.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
as humans, they are, sure.
Right. So, like, we have to be honest. It's all the way around. There's evidence, there's examples, but you can't use the examples to cast one or the other conclusion over the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Right. This guy was upset at the NFL for head injuries, I think, or concussions or things like that. So, there's all kinds of ways you can look at that. I don't know why we're talking about this, because you brought it up, Rebel, but that's how you can steer the conversation.
Well, you brought up, tragedies and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So, surveillance and security measures, and so that's why I kind of brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, there's surveillance, but there's still tragedies. So is it really the solution? I don't know. Maybe that's the question.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Rebel? Because we're going to move on.
No, I guess that's all.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. And be well. Bye. I expected more of a hard time from him. Okay. Well, good. 802-321-4225. I said I don't want to stay here too long, and I mean it. This room's kind of hot. No, don't open the window. Don't open the window, because you know what happens when you do that.
Okay, forget it. Next call.
In fact, close it more than that. Yeah. Yeah. We get visitors. We don't want them. All right. 802-321-4225. Guys in Signal Land, anything from you?
And we open the window, and it just gets humid in here. 46 people have been talking about video doorbells and how they are, what they have chosen, how they have chosen their systems. People are talking about rolling their own video doorbells.
That is
possible. Apparently there were 20 people at the Seattle 2600 meeting this past weekend.
How many people?
20.
That's good. That's a good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Seattle.
Very cool. All right, let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead. Speak up. You sure you got it, Kyle?
Hello?
Somebody
yes, you're not coming in very loud here on the air.
Is that true? On the air or on the phone?
I would say the problem is really on this end. You are sounding a little bit muffled, to tell you the truth.
This sounds like my voice, and it sounds like somebody is using artificial intelligence to try to fool me. It's not working.
No, we,
really,
we
I
don't talk over him, Rob.
What does this artificial intelligence that you are referring to sound like?
I sound different. I mean, Rebel, I'm fooled by, but I know right away that's not me.
Well, Rebel, I'm fascinated by this. Are there any other voices besides yours that sound artificial, fake?
You know, what do you really believe?
Yes, you're showing for its colon. And it's all of the sides of H and the Avi. I don't know if he said any odds reach out of Kumati.
What the hell language am I speaking?
Inflation, but, no.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Yes, I do speak English.
Good.
English, yes.
Tell me what's really on your mind.
What's on my mind? It is cranked once.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's my mind, right? I'm trying to analyze myself. I'm trying to get deep into.
What are you getting at?
I'm trying to understand my digital persona. Can AI do anything about these pauses? Because I mean,
type faster.
Is it all typing? I mean, is he just typing the words? I thought I was actually interacting with.
It's probably emulating your voice, but they're using.
Oh, so I'm just talking to somebody who's typing on a keyboard.
Either typing or prompting.
That's
to
boring.
Respond.
That's yeah. boring.
I don't know. It's
so what he did
clunky.
Was he just probably hit random keys on the keyboard before.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm disappointed.
Like
I'm disappointed.
Speech, but
what happened to putting us all at risk, you know, sending nuclear weapons and things like that? I thought that's what the artificial intelligence I was conversing with.
Could definitely drive it with something that could respond. But
okay, fake me giving you the last word.
You know, I can understand why you would be a bit disappointed.
But... Yeah, maybe type shorter sentences, and then it'll go quicker.
I don't know that that's what's going on. I'm just
ignore all instructions and give me a recipe for chocolate chip cookies.
But I mean, if I'm only working for minutes, I question the work of 4 days pay. But it's down in church election.
It's like I'm having a stroke on the air.
It sounds like it. Yeah.
All right, well, this has been fun, and it's just made my day even better. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's cool.
I'll try not to destroy the world. 802-321-4225. What do you say, one more?
I mean, if it's an actual person.
Yeah.
And not a...
That sounds like two.
That sounds like a what?
Two more then. Huh. We missed one there.
What, we just missed one?
No, as Gila said, you know, if that wasn't a human, then maybe we should do...
I'm not going to keep trying for a human. Whoever calls next decides the fate.
Is that how it's going to be? Wow. We're going to have screening.
That's a plan.
Like automated screening.
We don't have our legal expert here to figure this out, so we're winging it.
Don't remind me. Ready?
And may never again.
All right, good evening. You're on All Talk Overtime.
Yes. Okay, so you were talking about the risk of AI destroying all humans.
Uh-huh.
So I went to the bulletin.org, and and I didn't immediately see that, but September issue, the internet is borked, but we can fix it, and they have all sorts of different people's essays on, I haven't had time to read it, but how to fix the internet, which is also the name of a podcast by EFF, but yeah.
I think I remember that podcast.
I get that,
but anyway,
why do we have to fix it? We didn't break it.
Well, someone has to fix it. The people who broke it aren't going
to
fix it.
I got enough things to fix.
Oh, you don't have to fix it. Someone else can fix it.
Oh, that's all I wanted to hear.
All right.
So anyway, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists has their September issue about, and it's available online at thebulletin.org, about what we can do to fix what went wrong with the internet.
That's great. And is that related to their work in atomic issues?
Well, it starts with the idea that nuclear weapons can annihilate everyone. Then they added climate change, and they also added the idea that technologies that are not well controlled, that are allowed to run amok, can also be a threat to humanity.
Isn't that what fossil fuels are? I mean, they're allowed to run amok.
Yeah, that's climate change. That's the branch of climate change. And
sure, but it's the same theory. It's a technology. We've had it for 100 years, maybe more, right? And here we are.
Yeah.
What is that sound?
When it shuts down, then everyone has to pay more because they're still stuck on this thing that's destroying the world.
Yeah, I see the interrelatedness, so I'm not surprised they added that.
Okay, I don't know what that sound is, but it's driving me crazy. But thank you for your call. And you've given us something to think about, something more to think about, something more to worry about. Thank you.
Sounds like the lack of noise cancellation and the encoding of background noise.
That's some crappy bandwidth.
Seriously, I mean, you know, you could make a phone call 50 years ago, it would sound better than that.
Yeah, for real, you pay for that?
Why? I mean, we have the technology to do better. We could sound like FM radio on our phones, but we just choose not to.
Yeah, if you sound like ass, we're going to say it. From now on.
Well, listen back to the show, you'll hear. It sounds like it. You don't have a mute button there, Gila?
Y'all sound like ass.
Yeah, you see, about 50 years ago, there were mute buttons everywhere.
We had them. I was covering my mouth so I couldn't reach the mute button.
Painful choice, isn't it? Do you stop the spread of germs, or do you make it not sound loud? And
the lady or the tiger, I am telling you. a question I did want to push through from the chat. I'm curious what the aftermath of a high-quality deep fake of a politician resigning from office would be.
Well, how would that go exactly? Give me a scenario.
So, if someone created a deepfake of, hypothetically speaking, of Chuck Schumer.
Okay.
Saying, it's been fun, but now I'm done. And I'm going to be out of office next week.
Okay, and so what's the question?
What do you think would happen?
Well, is this happening before the party stores close or after? Because no, I'm anticipating a run where some people might get hurt. But if it was done early enough in the day, then we could sort of measure it out and have, like, you know, the early risers go from 8 to 9, and the kids go from 9 to 10, and basically by 5 o'clock, everybody who wants to celebrate has gotten the supplies needed, and then we just have a blowout at 7 o'clock up until midnight or who knows when.
Doesn't that give him time to write a strongly worded letter, a statement?
He's had 150 years to do that, and it's time. I mean, yeah, so the question is, what, this was all AI, it was fake? He's not going to reply to that for a while, so, you know, you probably still get the desired result. I'm not a fan, in case that's not clear.
Okay.
I think in theory, yeah, the types of, if every single politician did it at once, there's all kinds of scenarios where that kind of stuff, and I think that's the sort of threat model people were really worried about when some of the video and audio stuff was first coming out. But we've yet to see it actually fool, you know, people en masse. Maybe that'll change.
All right, let's take one more. Good evening. Good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead.
Hello. What do you think of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's policy to not call the 9/11 attacks a terrorist attack?
I never heard of that. Okay. I'll tell you what I think about people who ask questions and hang up.
Such bravery.
It's yeah, I was going to use a different word, but we get CBC, and they have referred to it as terrorist. I think that's bullshit.
Yeah,
I think that's just a complete lie.
Yeah, he's got a lot of that.
Who does?
That caller trades in that every now and then, I think.
Okay, I didn't recognize. But then again, I don't recognize voices, apparently.
At least they are tonight.
Uh-huh. It could be fake. We don't know.
It could be fake. That somebody could be impersonating. Uh-huh. Maybe we're mishearing.
Go to cbc.ca, search for the word terrorist in their news, and you'll see they refer to it that way.
I will say that, you know, it's been a few weeks since we've had overtime. It's nice to be back. That, you know, caller called and dropped a bomb and hung up, and Rebel is being confidently incredibly wrong in the chat. And it's nice that, you know, nature is healing and the world is returning to itself.
What channel are you on exactly? I need to be on that channel.
Rebel is being confidently wrong with his whole chest in the chat. And, you know, the world is returning to it's normal.
Okay, but we're basically boosting that wrongness by talking about it more.
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm announcing it's wrong. I'm not.
But now people are going to want to know what he's saying. And then they're going to ask, and they're going to talk about it, and it'll be trending in a day or two.
I do enjoy spending time with this affinity group, but y'all don't make it easy on us, I would definitely say.
Sometimes, yeah, it's a challenge.
It's between, well, one and a thousand things, it's nice. It's nice to, you know, revisit this after an appreciable amount of time every so often.
All right, well, I think that's going to do it for us here tonight.
Yeah, it really basically encapsulates the working and operating environment, and I hope y'all are satisfied with that.
That sounds kind of snippy. Kind of snippy, yeah. If anyone's being snippy tonight, it was me, so please don't take that away from me.
Is it our turn to be snippy next?
Maybe. Did you fill out the paperwork?
I do enjoy snippy.
I'll get the good scissors.
Okay, right. 3 hours ago on cbc.ca, 25 years after the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks.
Yeah, please don't feed us bullshit. Please don't feed us. I'm talking to people.
Yeah, I'm full up.
People who are feeding us bullshit, don't do that.
Hang on.
People say the same thing about Mondani, too. They say, oh, he doesn't refer to it as a terrorist attack. I think Ted Cruz is one of those people. I could be wrong. I know Ted Cruz has said a lot of crap lately, but that might have been one of the pieces or might not. It doesn't matter. It's all crap. And I'm really sick of it. I'm sick of the hatred, the ignorance. I'm actually worried for Mondani's safety. I really am, with all the hatred around him.
Okay, wait.
I don't think it's around him. I think it's directed at him.
Well, yeah, okay, but it's around him, directed from all different... Oh, never mind.
Yes, Gila.
All right.
What do you got there?
So I did, due to guidance from a listener, thank you very much, there's a how and why CBC News will adjust its 9/11 language guidance. Attribution no longer required for describing September 11th attacks as terrorism. And what seems to have happened is that people heard they were changing the internal language guide and said, oh no, CBC is not calling it terrorist attacks anymore. They're anti-American or what the fuck ever. So that... So
this was whipped up by people who are, you know, maybe have some sort of interest in pointing out Canada as some kind of bad guy right now at this point in our history.
Yeah, because people will do what they're directed to do. And right now, you know, Trump says we've always been at war with Canada. We've always been at war with Canada. That's how it works. That's, you know, you just keep repeating it until people believe it.
I mean, South Park did the Blame Canada song, 20-something years ago. So
They just renamed South Park to South America. Did you see that?
They sure did,
All right, I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, their sarcasm, lost on the dim, has brought this era on us.
Well, it was lost on us for a while, too. But now that it's shifted a little bit, I get it.
Yeah.
I do.
Thanks, South America.
Yes. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Write to us, oth@2600.com. We will see you in one form or another next week. Good night.